The Book of Ruth. It was written by Samuel the prophet during a particularly stressful and uncertain time in the history of God's people. During the time of the judges, the people of Israel experienced blessings, but they also experienced times of great trouble and crisis. We know from what's recorded in the book of Judges that the people would often walk away from God. They would worship at the temples of Baal and Asherah. And when they did, they experienced times of great difficulty. And God would remove his hand of protection from them, and they would fall victim to many enemies. Eventually, they would cry out, and God would, in his mercy, raise up a judge to lead the people in battle. Under these great leaders of God's choosing, the people would find freedom and safety, and while they kept their eyes on Yahweh, they would experience God's blessing. And if you read the book of Judges, you'll notice that the life for them is like a roller coaster. They ride high in the times of faithfulness, but crash to great lows during the times when they were far from Yahweh. And Samuel chooses to record the story of Ruth's life in the midst of all of this. It's kind of a strange little book, sandwiched in a larger history of Israel that gives a more global picture of things, is this very specific story in history about one person who isn't even an Israelite by birth. And I often wonder, why is this book in this place? And I'm convinced that part of the reason for the book of Ruth is that it illustrates what happens to people, ordinary people, and even more so, less than ordinary people like Ruth, given that she was a widow with no status. How, when they choose to live a life that's faithful and pleasing to God, great things can happen for them. It's a story that speaks powerfully to God's desire to provide for and redeem all of his people. Last week, we looked at the first two chapters of the book of Ruth, and we reflected on the image of God the provider, Jehovah Jireh. The idea of God being the one who provides is a major theme in the book of Ruth. And today we're going to look at the second half of the book of Ruth. And as we do, we're going to reflect on God the Redeemer. Thus far in the story, we've seen that Naomi and her family had left Bethlehem during a time of great famine. They went to Moab and they had settled there. And while they were living there, Naomi's two sons married Moabite women. Eventually, tragedy strikes the family, and all three of the men in Naomi's life, her husband and her two sons, die, leaving three widows. Three women with no rights or property and no prospects. Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem and urges her two daughter-in-laws to go back to their families and rebuild their lives. But one of them, Ruth, refuses to leave Naomi, and she returns with her to Bethlehem. They arrive there destitute. Ruth goes into a field and begins to glean wheat behind the harvesters, a custom that was allowed for widows and orphans to get food daily for their daily sustenance. And while she's there, Samuel tells us that it just so happens that the owner, a man named Boaz, comes and notices this dusty, plainly clothed woman, Ruth. He asks about her and comes to know that she's the faithful daughter-in-law of his late relative's wife, Naomi. Now, Boaz and Ruth, they end up sharing a meal together, and Ruth finds favor with Boaz, who commands his people to allow her not only to glean whatever she likes whenever she needs to, but to make it as easy as possible for her to boot. And in this first part of Ruth, we come to see how God provided for these two women. They arrived in Bethlehem without any prospects, and before long, God had orchestrated a meeting between Ruth and Boaz. And as we enter into the third and fourth chapters of Ruth, Naomi begins to encourage Ruth to pursue this relationship with Boaz. Naomi is convinced that Boaz's kindness is a sign that he loves Ruth. She's a wise woman, and in chapter 3, we begin reading this. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. And then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law had told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." Now, as you can see, Naomi thinks that there's something between Boaz and Ruth, so she makes a suggestion that Ruth take the initiative. And she tells her to go down and lie down at Boaz's feet when he falls asleep after dinner. This kind of seems kind of odd to us, I would imagine, and it's hard to maybe understand what it means, but in that culture, that would be considered to be some serious flirting. By taking the position that she did at Boaz's feet, she was communicating her interest in him in terms of marriage. Now, this would be a bold move on Ruth's part. If he was interested, great. If not, it might have resulted in Boaz changing his mind about providing food and safety for her in his fields. Can you imagine what she thought when she woke up and he asked, "Who are you?" It seems as though Boaz was taken by surprise, not expecting to find a young woman professing interest in him at his feet that night. And listen to Ruth's answer. She says, "I'm your servant Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer of our family." Ruth is very straightforward with Boaz. She suggests that if he were to marry her, then the land that belonged to Naomi's family and sons would remain in their family. The term guardian redeemer, or better translated, kinsman redeemer, is an important term to understand. It's best explained in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verses 5 and 6. And essentially what it talks about is that the purpose of this guardian redeemer was to preserve the lineage of the family by having a childless widow like Ruth to marry a relative, a kinsman, and by doing so to keep the property and possessions in the family. It also provided for continued lineage in this family because the children that would be produced from such a union would be considered the offspring of the dead man. So what Ruth was proposing to Boaz was that he could redeem the family as a relative. Boaz, of course, was more than familiar with the law and readily agreed to pursue this on Ruth and Naomi's behalf. And we see really just how much he cares for Ruth and what happens next. He tells her to be careful to go home before everyone woke up in order to protect her virtue. Ruth leaves with a generous provision of barley as well. But before he leaves, he explains to Ruth that there's a closer relative, one who would have, quote-unquote, the first right of refusal to be the kinsman redeemer for her and Naomi. He says he will pursue him and see whether or not he's interested. So the next day, he gathers together some elders and arranges for a chance meeting with this other relative in their presence. Chapter 4, we read this. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and he sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did. And then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi has come back from Moab, and she's selling a piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring this matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know. For no one has the right to do this except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. And then Boaz said, "On the day that you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because it might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." So this principle that comes from Leviticus 25 is this idea of how to redeem things is again, something that's really important to understand. When Israel had come into the Promised Land during the days of Joshua, the land had been divided among the tribes and then among the family groups. And it was God's intention that the land stay within those tribes and family groups so that the land could never permanently be sold. If someone were to die, someone could buy it temporarily, but every 50 years it had to be returned to the original family group. And additionally, the kinsman redeemer had the responsibility to protect the people, the property, and the posterity of that larger family. And all of those were duties that went together hand in hand. Now, this meeting was a surprise to the relative whose name were not even given. And Boaz himself is quite a crafty man. He presents the request for redemption to this man, and at first he seems ready to do it. But Boaz, who's fond of Ruth, reminds him of the total picture. He tells him that if he's to purchase this land and become this guardian redeemer, then he would have to take Ruth as his wife, and that for the man was a game changer. Boaz was wise in the way that he framed this opportunity. The relative decides it's too much to take on. When it was just a matter of property, it was an easy decision. But if he must take Ruth as a wife, that was another matter. And so he declines and forfeits his right, and Boaz readily accepts. As the story continues, Ruth and Boaz are married, and the family's inheritance is redeemed. Back in chapter 1, Ruth seems to be giving up on her best chance of marriage by leaving her native land of Moab and giving her heart and life to the God of Israel. But as Ruth put God first, he brought her together in a relationship greater than anything that she could ever have imagined. Ruth and Boaz's love story ends with the ultimate happily ever after in terms of ancient Middle Eastern society. They have a son, Obed, who then guarantees that Ruth's future and Naomi's as well is secure for the rest of their lives. Now, even if Boaz were to die, there is a son who will inherit the property that belonged to Elimelech. And Obed does more than just guarantee Ruth's future. He guarantees ours as well. For he is King David's grandfather. Isn't it amazing how God orchestrates things in history? David Guzik wrote this in his commentary. God's hand is all over history. God works out his purposes generation after generation. Limited as we are to one lifetime, each of us sees so little of what happens. A genealogy is a striking place of bringing before us the continuity of God's purposes through the ages. The process of history is not haphazard. There is a purpose in it all. And the purpose is the purpose of God. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, reflects the nature and character of Jesus, our redeemer. A potential redeemer has to have the desire and the means to cause a transaction to take place. In Boaz's case, his motivation for doing so was his love for Ruth. In the same way, it's the Father's great love for us that is behind our redemption. And the idea and the definition of redemption is this. It's the action of gaining or regaining possession of something in exchange for a price and a clearing of a debt. And it reminds me of a story of a little boy named Tommy. Tommy and his uncle had built this beautiful little toy boat. They had handcrafted it, carved it out of wood, placed the dowels into holes, glued them there, sewed little masts for the sailboat, rigged it up. And Tommy was so excited that he took it down to the river one day by himself. And he tied a little string to it, probably 6 or 7 feet long, and floated the boat out in the middle of the river and watched it sail around. And he was so very happy to do so. But unexpectedly, a very large gust of wind came and it snapped the little string that held the boat to Tommy's hand. The boat began to race down the river. And Tommy chased after it, and the more he chased, the farther the boat got away from him. Until finally the boat was out of sight. And Tommy was heartbroken. His little boat that he'd worked so hard, the thing that he had fashioned and created himself, was gone forever. A few days later, he happened to be walking through the center of town, and he noticed in the window of a used furniture store his boat. And he ran inside and he said to the man there, he said, "This is my boat. I built this boat with my uncle. I lost it on the river the other day." And the man said, "Well, it's my boat now. If you want this boat, it's going to cost you $3. So Tommy ran home and he opened up his piggy bank and he counted out all of the money that he had, and it just so happened that there was just about $3 there. And he ran back to the man and he gave the man the money, and the man gave him his boat, and he ran out of the store, thrilled and excited to have his little boat with him. And he said, "This boat is even more special now because not only did I make it, but I had to redeem it back for myself by buying it." Boaz was willing to pay the price. He made whatever financial transactions were necessary to redeem Ruth's family legacy and to ensure her future. And in a far greater way, Jesus pays the ultimate price to ensure our legacy as children of God. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. This is why he comes in the form of a man. Because God might have sent an angel to save us, but that angel couldn't have been our kinsman. Jesus takes on human form and becomes one of us so that he can redeem us as a kinsman. Ruth's story is one of redemption and restoration, and it foreshadows our own story as God's people. May we all come to know and trust in our Redeemer in the same way Ruth trusted in Boaz. From eternity, God planned to bring Ruth and Boaz together and thus make Bethlehem his entrance point for the coming of Jesus as our true kinsman redeemer, fully God and fully man. Spiritually, we need to come to Bethlehem and let Jesus redeem us. And as we enter into this season of Advent, as it begins to draw near for us, I encourage us all to turn toward Bethlehem with great faith and expectation.